Jesus says, who can put his hands to the plow and look back and be fit for service in the kingdom of God? Who can put his hands to the plow and look back and not be distracted, end up going all over the place? He's like, it's not going to work. When you put your hands to the plow, your eyes are straight, you plow straight, you are fit for service in the kingdom of God. If you put your hands to the plow, all of a sudden you're kind of like this, looking all around and everything in life. You know what, Jesus, you're not going to make it.
Welcome back, Living the Light listeners. Hey, we are continuing. In fact, we're concluding our important series today on what it means to truly follow Jesus Christ. In a world with so much distraction and so much confusion, what are the truths that the believer in Jesus needs to hold most dear? Well, thus far in our series, we've learned that prayer is essential in following Jesus. Counting the cost is essential in following Jesus. Counting the cost is essential in following Jesus. Recognizing where our true treasure lies is an essential in following Jesus. And now today, perseverance is equally essential. Our message takes us to Luke chapter 9. So without any further delay, let's turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Robbie, with today's message entitled, The Prerequisite of Perseverance.
So naturally, he must have been excited. He must have been like, man, it's where it's at with this Jesus guy. I mean, I got to get as close to him as possible because he's the hype. He's the one that crowds are following. If I get close to him, I feel important myself, all that kind of stuff. And so with impulsiveness and excitement, he blurts out, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. But see, he says it and he has no idea what he's really saying. And how do we know that? From Jesus' response. Right? Jesus' response to this seemingly great statement, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus is like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to follow me? In other words, do you know what you're signing up for? Again, as we go along, notice how Christ loves each individual by speaking the truth about what is reality to come. Because here's why Jesus does that. He does this to us today. Jesus knows that proper expectations leads to powerful endurance. Jesus knows that people seek to follow him without understanding the reality of the cost. They're only set up to falter in the days to come because they're signing up for one thing and then something else happens. They get disappointed, they get hurt, they get let down, and they're like, I'm out. It happens all the time. Jesus loves us enough to tell us, and particularly these situations here today, listen, if you don't have proper expectations, there's no way you can live in powerful endurance. You got to know what's the reality ahead. So this massive lesson in discipleship for Jesus is said in one sentence. It's this. We already said it. Said again. I must count the cost of following Christ. Think of the millions of people over the centuries that from a distance have witnessed the benefits and the blessings of following Jesus. You could have watched the baptisms today, and if you're just looking and you're hearing about the life change, you're hearing about the joy, you're hearing about the freedom, you're hearing about the peace, and you could see it from one angle, and you could be like, yeah, I want that. I want happiness. I want joy. I want peace. But without understanding the reality of what it means to die to self, to die to sin, to ask for forgiveness, to repent of sin, to follow Christ, you could get one half of the reality of the gospel equation. You could hear about all the joy, but fail to see the reality of the pain that's involved or the cost, certainly, of following Christ at times. There's been so much false teaching across the years, too, so much prosperity teaching. People standing up, hey, follow Jesus, walk this aisle, sign this card. Jesus will make you rich. Jesus will make you healthy. You won't get sick. He'll heal you of everything. That's false teaching. That's a false gospel, but it sounds great. And so people are like, yeah, give me that. I'll take money. I'll take health. It's not in the Bible, but people teach that. They're signing up for something that is false. They're being set up to fail. And so this man here, impulsively, he's like, I'll follow you wherever you go. And again, Jesus responds with, not so fast. Interesting, isn't it? again, Jesus loving this man enough and his perfect. Now, look at what Jesus responds with. So this man says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then notice the content of Jesus. All the things he could have said, he says this. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You're kind of like, what does that have to do with anything that this man just said? It has a ton to do with what he just said. Because what does Jesus know? Jesus knows everything. So Jesus, in his perfect wisdom, sees right into the heart of this particular man, and he knows the issue again for this man. Jesus loves him and reveals the issue of his heart. He knows that for this first man, the cost must be counted if he's going to persevere for the things of Jesus Christ. And notice the content of what Jesus says the cost must be counted. Notice Jesus reveals, listen, if you're going to follow me, there's the cost of comfort. Specifically, he says, there's the cost of your home potentially. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, are you sure you want to follow me? Because like the animals of the earth, they got somewhere to live. I don't. Jesus isn't saying he's penniless, but he is stating right now, I'm homeless. I'm traveling around ministering to people. You follow me, you might be called to the same. And apparently this man who blurted out, I'll follow you wherever you go. Apparently he loved his home. He must have loved his comfort. He must have loved his security. Otherwise, Jesus would not have responded the way he did in verse 58. You think of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 also in Luke 9. When Jesus does the miracle of providing for 5,000 people to eat with the bread and the loaves or the bread and the fish, so many people are seeing that. They see the physical provision that Jesus provides and they're like, yeah, give me more of that. See, they rush to follow Jesus. They have no idea what they're really trying to sign up for. So Jesus seeing all our hearts and Jesus seeing the heart of this man, he's like, make sure you know exactly what you're saying that you want to do. Again, just like the rich young ruler, right? The story of the rich young ruler also in Luke comes up and says, I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus says, you need to do one more thing. Go sell all your possessions, follow me. Because again, Jesus knows the greatest issue for the rich young ruler was his love of money. And the rich young ruler goes away sad and had great sorrow in his heart because he loved money more than God. Right here, for this man, it's very similar. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man, the Son of God, has nowhere to lay his head. Are you sure you still want to follow me? Jesus here is setting proper expectations. And loved ones, I can't stress enough how important proper expectations are to see perseverance in our lives. This man, I think we can infer from this text, this man saw following Jesus as an open door for ambition. He's like, man, the hype surrounding Jesus, the opportunity, the excitement, there's an open door for success and ambition. Jesus slams that door shut with a call for self-denial. The point of this encounter with this first man is that too many are misled or misfed by equating following Jesus with ease and comfort and little sacrifice. But the reality is we know from the Gospels and the New Testament that to follow Christ inevitably will result at times in difficulty and opposition and spiritual warfare and pain and seasons of sorrow. At times it will call for, to follow Christ is a call to take up your cross, to die to self for self-sacrifice. Jesus went out of his way to make sure those who are following him, that's why he said hard things, right? When the biggest crowd gathers, he often saved his hardest sayings for those moments and the crowd immediately thinned because he loved them enough to tell them the truth. Now, don't be mistaken. To follow Jesus Christ also involves awesome, unspeakable joy. It involves eternal forgiveness. It involves freedom and love and the hope of glory and the promises of everlasting life. But again, the hardship in follow Christ's promise that will eventually lead to the ecstasy of blessing, being with him forever. But Jesus makes it clear, listen, if you're going to persevere, you must have proper expectations. As I read this morning in my Bible readings, Matthew 7, for the way is narrow and is hard that leads to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of the world is wide and easy that leads to destruction. So from this first account and from the first man, if we're going to persevere, we must count the cost. So just ask some questions to yourselves right now. Do you think, based on what you just heard right here, when Jesus speaks to this man, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you think, if that was asked of you and me, do you think we're ready? Do you think we're ready to follow? Let me ask you this. What significance would comfort play right now in our lives? Comfort's a massive idol in our day. What significance would the desire for comfort right now play in hindering possibly our perseverance for Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. What role does your home play? Desire for home, love of home, just like this man apparently. Are we willing to renounce if the Lord were to ask us, how do these things play again within our lives? So the first thing we see here is the call to count the cost in following the Lord Jesus Christ. The second, when we come to the second individual, the second man now is a call that I must live with urgency. I must live with urgency. Look at verse 59. So here's the second man. Watch this. Verse 59. To another, he says, so Jesus now says to this other man, you follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Interesting. And Jesus said to him, almost shockingly, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Okay. The first man was impulsive, blurting out before he really understood. The second man, notice, is hesitant. The second man now is reluctant. The first man approaches Jesus. The second man, Jesus, initiates. Here's the bottom line for the second encounter with the second man. It's this. There will be people who are half-hearted, and one of the best ways we know we're half-hearted is we make excuses as to why we cannot follow Jesus Christ with urgency. Half-heartedness leads to rationalization or excuses. It's interesting here that commentators differ on whether this man's father had already died or whether he was nearing death. It's probable that this man's father was still alive. And so this man was saying to Jesus, hey, listen, you know, my father, I want to spend my last days with him. I want to care for him. You know, it could be days, weeks, maybe even months in this situation. We're not totally sure. But Jesus, I'll follow you. Let me first just take care of my duties at home and care for my dad. It seems like a very, very noble thing. But notice what's clear from Jesus' answer. Jesus demands, no, this man, you must follow me now. In fact, he says this thing, leave the dead to bury your own dead. Jesus, I mean, if that was said today, pastorally, Jesus would be accused of being insensitive. I think if you said this kind of thing out today, people, how dare you say such a thing? That's not loving. How could you say such a thing? And this is the very words that Jesus said to you, let the dead bury your own dead. Again, it's almost shocking. It's hard to even hear. And yet Jesus was making the statement in perfection of love and what this man needed to hear. Because in the end, what's happening, we gather from this verse, and we know this is the point. The man was coming up with an excuse in the way of his family to prevent him from following Christ wholeheartedly. That's the point of this verse. Fascinating to me. Think of the excuses that we come up with for not following Christ with all our lives. Think of the ways that we rationalize again to not being wholehearted with our pursuit of Jesus Christ. I can look at my own heart and think of the excuses that come up on a weekly basis. Notice here too, he says, I'll follow you, but let me first. Isn't that so interesting too? I'll follow you, but let me first. Notice how those things contradict each other. I'll follow you, but me first. Right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I'll follow you, but me first and following Christ. Those don't go together. And twice in this passage, the second and third man both say basically the same thing. How many have said over the years too, I'll follow Jesus seriously when? After this season, I'll get serious about my faith. Just let me get through this season with the kids. Oh, trust me, I get that. I get that season. I get that excuse. And yet it can never come before Christ. Let me get through this work season first. Let me just get through this season with this hobby. You know, I'm busy. I'm working out a lot. I'll get through this. Then I'll follow Jesus. It's always something. Those who are half-hearted will never cease to come with up an excuse and a reason to not give their entire lives to Jesus Christ. Again, this is what the Lord is revealing today to us in his word. He says, follow me And the guy's like, yeah, yeah, I'll be right there. I just have to do something first. It's interesting that when Jesus approached Peter and Andrew, James and John and Matthew, he said the same thing. He said, follow me. All of them in separate occasions, they left everything and they followed him. In fact, James and John, the gospel tells us they were with their father Zebedee in the boat. And it says they literally dropped their nets, left their father in the boat and went to follow Jesus like that. Not that they rejected their father Zebedee. It wasn't that they were hating their dad. It was just a matter of that they saw the importance and the priority of Christ as more important again than where they were in that moment. Here's a question for us today, all of us right now. What excuses have we been making? I mean, just maybe take a few seconds right now. It happens every day, right? What excuses have we been trying to convince ourselves to not pursue Jesus Christ with urgency? That's the question he wants us to ask based on this passage here. If we're gonna persevere, we must be living lives of urgency. It's interesting also, Jesus says here, he says, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let those who are spiritually dead bury the dead. Let those who are spiritually alive proclaim the kingdom of God, because it's the kingdom of God that leads to true life. This is what we are to be about, those of us who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we make excuses, and what does apathy and complacency lead to? It leads to our flames get small, our distractions get many, our hearts become weak, our selfishness can grow great, and again, the excuses pile up. You know, to be honest, just like as your pastor, one of my fears that I have to give to the Lord, but one of my fears for the people of this church is the amount of people that will start to assume there's an entirely new way of approaching Christ that doesn't involve coming to church, that doesn't involve being in community, that is willing to sit at home and do as little as possible and somehow think that that's going to suffice in terms of the Christian life and genuine community in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a fear of the amount of people that will take the season we've been in and choose to dwell in a rationalized apathy for the time to come. That just won't end well. I have to give that to the Lord. We pray for you. We pray for us. I have to give that to the Lord, but that's one of the things the enemy wants to do with the season that we've just come through. He wants people to stay away from each other. He wants people and their hearts to grow cold. He wants selfishness to increase, and he wants selflessness to decrease. God help us on that. May our excuses becoming less. May our urgency become more. So we have here, if I'm going to persevere, I must live. Again, with urgency here, I must count the cost. And thirdly, the third man we see there, my heart must be undivided. So look at the third man now. Verse 61, yet another said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but, that's always a bad sign, eh? See that in the text there? I will follow you, but. You're like, oh no, darn it. I will go forward, but let me first go back. Ah, you know, like that's not what you want to hear. And that's exactly what's saying here. I will follow you, Lord. Let me first say farewell to those at my home. I will go forward with you, Lord, but first let me go back, right? Again, not a good sign. Those things just don't match up with one another there. And notice Jesus' response. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow. This is Jesus loving right here. This is the perfect Son of God in perfect wisdom with perfect love. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's so true, isn't it? Many seem enthusiastic about following Christ. But first, they want to say goodbye to their old friends. They want to say goodbye to their party scene. Let me just say goodbye to my drinking buddies. Let me just say goodbye to the old crowd. Let me just say goodbye to those. And what often happens is, even in the parable of the soil, we find out people receive the word with joy, but then when pleasure and enticements come up, they are lured away, they don't return. Or when hardship or persecution comes and the soil there, then they also don't return. It's so interesting the amount of people say, I will follow you, Jesus, but let me first go back, and they never return. Isn't that true? I've seen over the years so many people, there seems to be an initial response of joy. I will follow you, Jesus. I just got a few things I need to take care of. I'll see you in a couple of minutes. And then you kind of check your watch. It's a few months later, a few years later, and you're like, where'd that person go? They never returned. This is what Jesus is warning us about today. I wonder if there's some listening, who knows, online, inside right now, here right now. I mean, you're really finding yourself being spoken to by the Holy Spirit, because this is where you find yourself. So Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow, maybe there's a few farmers here right now, and if there are farmers, I'm sure they're in this group outside right now, right? But you understand, if you put your hand to the plow or tractor, in this case, whatever it is, and if it, you must plow a straight line. If you don't plow a straight line and you get crooked, the harvest is ruined before it even begins. Jesus says, who can put his hands to the plow and look back and be fit for service in the kingdom of God? Who can put his hands to the plow and look back and not be distracted, end up going all over the place? He's like, it's not going to work. When you put your hands to the plow, your eyes are straight, you plow straight, you are fit for service in the kingdom of God. If you put your hands to the plow, all of a sudden you're kind of like this, looking all around and everything in life, you know, Jesus, you're not going to make it. It just doesn't work. Right here from the words of Jesus. Setting your eyes, fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3, forgetting what lies behind, enough already. Forgetting what lies behind, it's done. Forget that. Straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the call for the prize, the upward call found in Christ Jesus. Forget what lies behind. Don't look back anymore. Again, remember Lot's wife. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the call of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is saying right now. It's so interesting to me too. A verse that's meant a lot to me in recent weeks and months is from Matthew 24. Speaking of the last days, the end times, it says, as lawlessness increases, listen carefully, the love of many will grow cold. That really sticks out to me. Again, that's something that's very sobering to me. It says, as sin increases, as the culture intensifies in darkness, it will cause many people to look back. Some in nostalgia will look back and say, oh, the days before Christ, they were easier. Oh, I got to do this and that. They were better. I got to fulfill all my desires. And they'll be tempted to go back and revert to the ways. As the sin increases and the lawlessness, it seems enticing. The Bible promises the love of many will grow cold. Apathy will set in. That's sobering to me. Jesus counters that with, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, I pray so much you will help us to be men, women, and children who persevere. Who persevere, because Jesus is life. I mean, maybe you're here right now. Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the one who created the heavens and the earth and created you. Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sins and grant you everlasting life. Jesus is his name. You believe in him. You turn from sin. You repent of sins. You trust. Give your life to Jesus Christ for your forgiveness of your sins, never to be the same again. And you'll be in the baptism tank too one day soon. That would be so awesome. This is the reality of the gospel. This is who Jesus is. But for those of us who are saved in Jesus Christ, being faithful to our passage today, I just want to ask you a few questions here as we end. Question number one is this, just being true to our text today, is there any comfort right now in our lives preventing our perseverance? Jesus warns us, if you're truly going to follow me, you got to be aware of what could be asked of you. We don't know. We don't know what it means. We follow Jesus. Many are called to give up everything and move across the world and be missionaries for Christ. Others are called to sacrifice and generosity and live and love others as best they can around them. We don't know what Jesus will ask of us. Let me ask us again, is there any comfort right now preventing my perseverance for Christ? Is there something I'm holding on to way too tight? Question number two, is there anything I'm preoccupied with that is hindering my discipleship? Is there something I love too much? Is there something that I'm idolatry towards? Is there a preoccupation that is definitely hindering my growth for the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been moments in our lives, Lord, I'll follow you, just let me first. And we've been let me first thing forever. And we've never actually come to following Christ. Is there anything like that in our lives right now? And thirdly, being true to our text today, is there any relationship taking priority over Christ? Even family, As great as family is, great in our text though today, is there any relationship that we would take greater priority in or express greater love for than Jesus Christ? See, Jesus says, if we say yes to any of those questions, we're not ready as best we can to persevere for him, especially in these days that we live. And let me just make sure I say this too. This passage in some ways can be difficult, and the calling of Jesus, you're like, wow, man, that's kind of like a high bar sometimes. Remember this, the Lord will never ask from us what he's not willing to do in us. He will never ask from us what he's not willing to do in us. It's his strength. It's his grace. It's his spirit. It's his love. It's his power. It's his mercy. It's his goodness. And it's for his glory. And so that's where we find ourselves today. Oh, Lord, I pray so much, the men, women, and children of this church, that you would allow us by your grace to be those who persevere, who persevere, who put our hands to the plow. You know, we have a picture of a man with a plow and two horses in our elder room, in our boardroom, in the church. It's been there since this church or this building began to remind us always we are to put our hands to the plow, to not look back, that we could be fit for the kingdom of God. I pray that so much for you. And I pray that so much for me today as well. It's going to be tough, loved ones. It is tough, eh? But it's going to be so worth it. God help us. Amen, church. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would be again speaking and encouraging. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be giving us courage to follow you, to put our hands to the plow. Help us to not be distracted. Lord, help us to understand the cost, but the worth of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, I pray. I pray for those who are tempted towards apathy. I get it, Lord, I get it. I'm tempted every week too. Oh, and the Lord, Jesus Christ, in his name, I pray there would be passion growing. I pray, Lord, it would not be, let me first. I pray instead it would be, Jesus, I trust you, I believe in you. I pray for those today who would give their life, maybe inside right now, maybe outside, maybe watching right now, they would give their life. Today is the day. I've put it off too long. Jesus is the answer. I need you, Jesus. Save me from my sins. I trust you, I believe in you. Oh, Lord, may it be so. I pray for hearts that have been divided. I pray they would be undivided today by your grace, by your spirit, Lord. Call young people to yourself, Lord. Call men and women to yourself today. Even in this last song, I pray, just ties a wonderful bow today around this great service. Yes, Lord, we need you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm sure many of you have heard that coming up on November 30th is Giving Tuesday. Not familiar? Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform their communities in the world. Giving Tuesday was created in 2012 with a simple idea, a day that encourages people to do good. Over the past 7 years, this idea has grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give and collaborate and celebrate generosity. One of the best ways to get involved is in your own community to a cause that's close to your heart. Live in the Light exists to see lives radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. This is what's close to our hearts. And if you get fired up for the gospel and people learning about Jesus, and that's your heartbeat too, please consider spending your Giving Tuesday gift on Live in the Light. A gift of any amount helps keeps us on the air, and because of that, more people can hear God's word each day through stations like this one. If the mission of Live in the Light resonates with you, please contact us online at liveinthelight.ca or by phone at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We can't wait to see what God is going to do through the generosity of his people this Giving Tuesday.
That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.